Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the course of my some 40 years in various capacities, waging, observing, supporting our efforts in that war, there are a few men that I have encountered whom I've admired more and who I've had the privilege of working with more closely than our guest for this full edition of Secure Freedom Radio. He is Admiral James Ace Lyons. He is these days the president and CEO of Lyons Associates, but he has been spending much of his time, both in that role and others, including as the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee, building on a distinguished career of military service in the United States Navy, spanning some 36 years. He has risen through the ranks from an able-bodied seaman to a four-star Navy admiral, and has been an extraordinarily active contributor to the public policy debate about our national security through, among other things, his publications at the Washington Times. He's a frequent guest here at Secure Freedom Radio, and it's always a privilege when we have a chance to catch up with him, especially when we can do so at length. Admiral Lyons, it is terrific to have a chance to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
It's nice to be with you, Frank, you and your listeners.
Thank you, sir. We have, over the years, spent a lot of time, you and I, talking about a country that is, well, more or less in the forefront of the news these days. That is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Remind us, if you would, sir, briefly, of some of your experiences with the Iranians in the past that could conceivably have, had your advice been taken, prevented us from getting to a point where we seem to find ourselves now at the cusp of a regime that has, since 1979, declared its intent to inflict death to America, having the nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles with which to do just that. Give us a bit of the lay of the land, if you would, sir, as an old seaman.
Well, you know, you have to go back to the Jimmy Carter years, and he was the one who opened up private negotiations with Khomeini and his regime. It was unconscionable what went on then. It ultimately culminated, as you recall, in their takeover of our embassy. And at that time, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff called me up and said, "What can we do?" I said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take Karg Island, which was their main oil exporting depot, and we could have cut off Khomeini at the knees at that time." That option was rejected by the President Carter. And as a result, we're still suffering from that decision to this day. The second major event was the Marine Barracks bombing. And actually, prior to that, the blow up of our embassy in April 1983 in Beirut, Lebanon. And that was followed by the Marine Barracks bombing on October 23rd, 1983, where 241 of our finest military personnel were murdered. That event never had to happen because NSA had a tap on the Iranian ambassador's line in Damascus. And we had the information, and they put it out on the 27th of September, 1983, where the ambassador gave instructions to the terrorist group, the Islamic Amal, which is an element of Hezbollah, to concentrate their attacks on the multinational force, but take a spectacular action against the United States Marines. I never got to see that message until 2 days after the bombing.
So, Admiral, let me just make sure we're clear about this. You're saying that the Iranian ambassador to Syria was intercepted by the National Security Agency, our superb signals intelligence collection outfit, directing a proxy of the Iranian government to take a spectacular action against our multinational forces at the time in Beirut, trying to keep a lid on things. And that translated shortly thereafter into this truck bombing that killed so many of our Marines. What did you do in response to that, sir?
Well, I was called out to CIA by the CIA director, Casey, and asked if they found out who did it, would I make up the plans to take him out? And I said, of course. And actually, those directions from the Iranian ambassador, Frank, were more direct. It was to concentrate their attacks on the multinational force, but specifically to take a spectacular action against the United States Marines. And long story short, they found out who it was, and they were holed up the Islamic Amal in the Sheikh Abdullah barracks above Baalbek, which was the Lebanese army post. We had the planes. I carried the planes over the carriers because I knew the Soviets were reading our communications at the times. And this is before we knew about Walker, who was selling them our codes. In any event, we had the planes loaded. We were ready to go. I had thoroughly briefed the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chairman. I had briefed the Secretary of Defense. And when the crucial time came, the Secretary of Defense is the one who sabotaged the strike by telling President Reagan that he thought there were Lebanese army troops in those barracks. And of course, the president properly turned to Director Casey and said, Bill, what about that? Well, of course, Bill was not up to speed because he had just come back from a 2-week trip. And he said, go back and sort it out. We went back and sorted it out. No, there were no Lebanese army troops there. We had the planes loaded again. And this time, according to Bud McFarlane, who was the national security advisor, the Secretary of Defense, Weinberger, started waving his arms wildly and said, if we go ahead with the strike, we're going to lose all our Arab friends, et cetera, et cetera. And he threw enough dust in the air, we never could get the execute order out of the president. And we're living with that decision to this day. We could have shut it all down.
You have made this point so well and so often, and I know that it must be a terrible burden on you that what we are confronting now in terms of truly, I believe, if not already, certainly in the very near future, an existential threat to this country might have been avoided. Admiral Lyons, we're talking about Iran at a time when it is not only amassing, it appears, weapons of mass destruction, despite this so-called JCPOA, this agreement, the Obama bomb deal, I call it, that President Obama struck with the Iranians. The President of the United States is supposed to make a decision in the very near future as to whether the deal is being complied with by the Iranians and is in the national security interests of the United States. What are your thoughts on those two questions, sir?
Well, first of all, this deal has never been in the security interests of the United States. It should have been canceled on day one of this administration. Ambassador John Bolton has a very good plan laid out, which goes into great detail on how to cancel this program, and that's what should be done. Decertification and all the rest of it about renegotiating is absolutely nonsense. We're dealing with an evil, evil Khomeini regime with an apocalyptic mindset that thinks when they have a tremendous event in the world. It will bring back the 12th Iman. You can't deal with this mindset. You have to cut it off at the knees.
I'm afraid I have to cut you off for the moment. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back with much more of Admiral James Ace Lyons, the chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee and former commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are visiting for this full hour with one of the nation's most distinguished military officers and continuing contributors to the national security debate, Admiral James Ace Lyons. You can find his writings at the Washington Times these days. You can also find some extraordinarily successful viral videos of the Admiral on YouTube, including at securefreedom.org. Admiral Lyons, we've been talking about Iran. You've been talking very persuasively about the conditions that are now operating that make this increasingly a threat. Among those, I wanted to ask you about what Iran has been up to. We spoke earlier about Lebanon. In Lebanon at the moment, and Syria, and Iraq, to create what has been described as a Shiite crescent, taking Iran all the way to the Mediterranean, in terms of its influence, its forces on the ground, its ability to project power. As a military man, how serious a strategic problem is this development?
Well, it's very serious, Frank. You left out one country, and that's Yemen as well. What Iran is trying to do is build a land bridge that goes to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and to complete the encirclement of the Arabian Peninsula. They are deeply involved in the Yemeni crisis today. And why is that important? It's important for two reasons. Basically, they have control, a very good control over the Straits of Hormuz, which is one of the key straits where over 50% of the world's oil pass on a daily basis. And the second key strait is the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which adjoins Yemen, and which has over 30%, over a third of the world's oil supply, passed through those straits on a daily basis.
Yeah, these are in fact strategic choke points of the first order. But Admiral, just finish this thought. If a regime that is committed to the destruction of, the United States and Israel, but more generally, really, the non-Muslim world, forcing it to submit as Sharia dictates to its will, what does it mean as a practical matter that they're putting into place these sort of strategic moves that are clearly a problem in the near term, but what do they portend for the longer run?
Well, it not only is control of the vital strategic material oil, and those straits, and I wanted to finish the thought, when they control the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, they also have de facto control over the Suez Canal. So this has a major strategic significance as it relates to Iran's objective in being able to project Islam throughout the world. And they are, as they have declared many times, it is their objective to make Islam the dominant religion throughout the world. And the two key elements that they're using to do that is death to Israel and death to America. And we cannot dismiss this. You cannot negotiate with them. We really have to take the position that we should have taken years ago. We have to be prepared for regime change in Iran. It's the only sensible solution.
Right. Admiral Lyons, let me take advantage of your expertise as a naval officer. When you talk about the Suez Canal effectively being controlled by very unfriendly forces in Iran or their proxies, what does that mean in terms of the movement, not just of shipping and commodities like oil, but also of our ships, our naval vessels, our fleets, particularly at a time when things in the Eastern Mediterranean are getting hotter by the day?
Well, what happens, Frank, and we went through this before, when they mined the Suez Canal, as you recall, many years ago, and what that does, it adds almost 2 weeks on to a trip from the east coast of the United States to the Indian Ocean and the Persian Gulf. And it is a serious and costly operation in our ability to be able to respond to emerging threats in that very volatile area of the world.
Especially given the size of our fleet, and that's something I want to come back to you about shortly, Admiral, but just staying with the present topic, one of the places where we're watching this similar kind of constriction of our fleet's movements and the implications for a whole host of commercial as well as national security interests is the Chinese move into choke points around the world, notably the Panama Canal, another critical waterway, and the Straits of Malacca and the South China Sea and the like. Could you give us just, again, from a naval officer's point of view, Admiral, a perspective on what the implications are of the Chinese moving in this strategic way at the same moment that the Iranians are doing in their parts of the world?
Well, it's very clear. The Chinese are building a navy to confront the United States Navy. They have you have to all this nonsense they're putting out, all their major naval buildup is nothing but for defensive purposes, is pure nonsense. They've been building ports and enclaves throughout the world, and eventually at some point they plan to challenge the United States Navy. And in fact, starting in the Western Pacific, their initial objectives, a total hegemony out to the first island chain, which includes Taiwan and elements of Japan. And eventually they want to go out to the second island chain, which includes Guam. And of course, they want to stretch down to the Straits of Malacca. And this is all detrimental to U.S. objectives and peace and stability throughout the world. It can only, the same way with their operation in Panama, they have actually, through their control of the container ports on both sides of the Panama Canal, they have to have effective control of the Panama Canal. And they have developed major efforts with Panama to expand the capabilities of the canal to handle many of their much larger container ships.
So they're deeply embedded there and as you say, effectively exercising the ability to deny us the use of that critical transit point for moving assets from your old area of operations in the Pacific to the Atlantic or vice versa. Admiral Lyons, I just have to pause for a second, sir. We'll be right back with more with Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former commander of the Pacific Fleet. We're doing a quick tour d'horizon of strategic developments and what they might mean for you. And we'll continue straight ahead.
more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back with Admiral James Ace Lyons for a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio. It's always a delight to have him with us, but particularly at a moment when there are so many different hotspots, and his insights, his past service to our country and his expertise are so desperately needed. And Admiral, you were just about to make a point, and I apologize for having to cut you off there, but one other legacy of the Carter presidency that you wanted to take note of.
Yes, particularly his turning over of the Panama Canal to Panama when this was purely one of the key strategic waterways that we controlled, and he turned it over. And this is another show of a Democratic president. We shouldn't leave out Clinton, who provided the Chinese with the technology to fix their intercontinental ballistic missiles, which are poised at us today. And of course, then we have the Obama administration with their disastrous Iranian nuclear weapon non-agreement that we're still living with today.
Yeah. And I do want to come back to one other aspect of the Obama legacy with you in a moment, sir. But just to stay with China for one more moment, sir, there's a report that the Chinese are specifically expecting to take on the United States as they move on a longstanding strategic objective of theirs, which is to reconquer Taiwan. And I wonder what your thoughts are on, again, the importance to our security interests of Taiwan remaining a free and essentially sovereign democratic government allied with us, and the implications should the Chinese act on what has apparently now become a rather fixed timetable for terminating that experiment with democracy among Chinese people.
Yeah, you have to recall their objectives in the South China Sea are all geared for the invasion of Taiwan. Their declaration that the entire South China Sea is their territorial waters is pure nonsense. And that was backed up by the court in The Hague a few years ago, which declared all their actions in the South China Sea, their man-made islands. They now have four major man-made islands, which in effect are aircraft carriers, because they built 10,000-foot runways and are arming those islands with both surface-to-air missiles and surface-to-surface missiles. This is all geared towards an eventual invasion of Taiwan. And we have to assist Taiwan, which is the only successful democratic element that the Chinese want to eliminate at all costs. So we have to provide Taiwan with certain defensive equipment that would make it more than difficult for a successful Chinese invasion of Taiwan. And this includes not only selling them the F-35 aircraft, converting them over 600 artillery pieces with missile-guided artillery, and effectively helping them build their domestic submarine program, providing them the essential equipment they need. And we should also be building arsenal ships ourselves. And these are ships with basically are missile carriers. They're nothing but missile carriers. This would be a tremendous detriment to any type of invasion that China would attempt against Taiwan.
So, Admiral Lyons, as you look at what the Chinese are doing at the moment, one of the key elements of their activities, in addition to Taiwan and control of these critical choke points and strategic waterways, seems to be to deny the United States the access to and aerial denial, as they call it, that would enable us to project power to protect Taiwan or, for that matter, Guam or our other interests and allies in the region. This is especially coming into sharp relief as the Chinese, in my estimation, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, use North Korea as a distraction from what they're doing. Would you talk about the role that North Korea plays, the use that the Chinese seem to be making of it, and the implications of all of this for the Navy as it is today, let alone what may be in prospect if it diminishes further as a result of the cumulative effects of the Obama administration's sequestration policy and impact on morale with social engineering and so on. I'm interested in sort of your overall assessment, net assessment, if you will, of where we are in terms of being able to do what we need to do in that region.
Let's be very clear, Frank. There'd be no nuclear weapon threat at a North Korea if it were not for China and Russia. They are the ones that created the wherewithal for North Korea to have a nuclear weapon program. This nonsense that they have no control or limited control over what North Korea is doing is pure nonsense. What we should be doing, and I agree with the president, there's no sense trying to set up talks and six-party talks and all that nonsense, because before the ink is dry, North Korea has already broken it under the guidance of China. What we have to do, we have to change the dynamics. And the first thing we should be doing is withdrawing all our U.S. military dependence from South Korea. And following that, we should be really withdrawing all American dependence out of South Korea. This will send a very definite signal. This would upset their calculus. What we're doing is removing a hostage force. As you see today, there's no major movements of military forces per se. But if you did this one move, this would upset their strategic thinking on what our next action will be. It actually puts teeth into his Secretary of Defense Mattis's statement that all military options are on the table.
It's an important step, Admiral. And as you've indicated, it is against the backdrop of some growing evidence that the president is determined to use economic sanctions effectively against the Chinese, really for the first time. Squeezing them so that they in turn squeeze the North Koreans. Meanwhile, the threat from North Korea is, of course, continuing to grow, as is that of China itself, as we've been discussing. In particular, Admiral, I'm interested in your thoughts about missile defenses against these kinds of threats. How important is it that we have effective defenses, and do we have them today? If not, what should we be doing to get them?
Well, we have the capability to have an effective anti-ballistic missile defense. Unfortunately, it has been prevented from coming to fruition for a number of years by our own missile defense agency through the form of their chief scientist, a gentleman by the name of Englander. But what this is a software that's been developed. It's been tested for over 15 years against hypersonic maneuvering warheads, and it has been proven to be effective against that threat for over 90% of the tests, almost 99%. This one change, and the beauty of this software, you don't have to build new systems. You can use the systems we have today. It's just incorporating the software. It's the Wayne Gretzky theory. Go to where the puck is going to be. And to this one action would totally checkmate the ballistic missile threat, not only of North Korea, but China as well, with the anti-ship ballistic missiles. And this I consider critical for the Navy with our reduced force levels. We have to ensure the survivability of our fleet. And today, I put that in question without the incorporation of this software, which is called HIT, Hypersonic Intercept Technology. It's there. It's available. It needs to be immediately operational, tested. The Navy should take the lead, and certainly the Air Force should be supportive.
Admiral Lyons, we have to pause for just a second. We'll be right back with more with Admiral James Ace Lyons right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We are back for our final installment in this very important, highly provocative, but absolutely fascinating conversation with one of the great military practitioners of our day and one of the great contributors to national security debate in this country, such as it is, Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, now President and CEO of Lyon Associates, also Chairman of the Center for Security Policy's Military Committee. Now, Admiral, you have been describing a world of hurt. I think it's fair to say we haven't even gotten to Russia or Venezuela or some of the other developments, including more broadly this whole phenomenon of Sharia supremacism and what it means for us abroad as well as here at home. It would be a very full plate for any administration, and I did want to ask you to discuss, having served in quite a number of them over the years and observed others very, very closely, what you make of the current national security team and its seeming disconnect on issue after issue after issue with the president, both the president and the proposals and promises he made as a candidate, but also on many occasions, it seems, his rhetoric as president as well.
This is terribly troubling. The president's basic instincts are correct. He ran on a program. He had the support of the American people, and that's why he was elected. His current national security team, to me, how they got in place is mind-boggling to me, because none of them, and that includes starting with the Secretary of Defense through the National Security Advisor, through the Secretary of State, none of them seem to be on the same page in supporting the president's objectives and what he ran on. None of this makes any sense. And their continued holdover of the Obama administration people, you know, the first thing you do when you're going to drain the swamp is you get rid of the Obama holdovers. That's number one. Number two is you get rid of the Muslim Brotherhood, who have been implanted in our government for over 50 or 60 years. You know, I got to say, on day one, to me, there's certain things I would have done. Day one, the essential rules of engagement would have been changed, not waiting 6 or 7 months. We had people out there in combat areas whose lives were on the line. That had to be done on day one. On day two, you get rid of all the social engineering mandates that were imposed by the Obama administration, which have done nothing to improve the readiness and capability of our military forces. In putting in transgender personnel and all this is pure nonsense. It is all designed to weaken and destroy our military capability. That can be the only objective. This idea that diversity is a strategic imperative for readiness and mission accomplishment is pure nonsense. It makes no sense whatsoever. As far as McMaster's goes, how he got there is a tremendous mystery to me, because his views are exactly opposite to the president. And in his support of this disastrous nuclear weapons agreement with Iran, should tell it all, he needs to be replaced as soon as possible.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And Admiral, again, you have long experience with chains of command and the implications of having insubordinate subordinates. Were you the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet today, and people south of you in your command were actively at odds with your policies and, well, frankly, subverting them, is there Any doubt in your mind how you would proceed?
Not one. They'd be history in a microsecond.
And the absence of that in the case of the National Security Advisor to the President, let alone these other senior positions, as you've mentioned, is, I believe, creating incredible problems. And let me just ask you, we have the spectacle of Senator Bob Corker, the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, describing recently, I believe this is a direct quote, the administration's national security team as an adult daycare. This implication being that the president is incompetent and has to be minded. What, again, would be your response to that situation, sir, were you still in government?
Well, Corker would be history. He is part of the problem with the Iranian nuclear weapons agreement. He's the one that prevented it from coming to a vote in the Senate, for, as it should have been, for a full treaty vote. The Corker-Corbin bill is part of the problem. And I understand he's not running for re-election, so that is a tremendous plus.
Indeed. And I have the feeling that had something to do with the president saying he wouldn't endorse him, as well as perhaps in support of an opponent to him. Admiral, let me quickly return to where we began. There's so much more to talk about, but I did want to ask your questions about a question about the Middle East and a nation that has long been an ally of the United States, in fact, is a treaty ally under the North American Treaty Organization, NATO, namely Turkey. Turkey has, however, been of late, as you know so well, increasingly at odds with us. There's a diplomatic row underway at the moment, but would you talk briefly about the role Turkey is currently playing in a very strategic part of the world and what it means for our security interests and how we should proceed, notably with respect to a thorn in their side, namely the Kurds?
Yeah, what Turkey's been doing is very troubling. In fact, the Kurdistan has been one of our truest allies in the Middle East in helping us achieve our objectives and in fighting the Islamic State and driving them into, hopefully, extinction. And certainly, we should be supportive of Kurdistan independence. That's one of the key elements in disrupting the land bridge that Iran is trying to create from Tehran through Iraq, Syria, into Lebanon to the Mediterranean. I see a independent Kurdistan as a key blocking move to that objective. And we should lend our support in every way to that achievement, including setting up a forward operating base in Kurdistan for the U.S. Air Force. At Erbil, you have over a 13,000-foot runway there, one of the longest runways in the world, and it would certainly enhance our strategic position in that critical area. And one other thing I want to mention, Turkey certainly is getting cozy with Russia and Russia's involvement in Syria. But also, we just saw this latest, the King of Saudi Arabia make a visit to Moscow, and they set up certain agreements with Putin. How much of that is going to come to fruition, I'm not sure. But it involves not only the sale of an S-400 air defense system, but also the establishment of Russian nuclear power plants in Saudi Arabia. Why we would let Russia establish that type of footprint in Saudi Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah. Admiral, we have to leave it there. There is so much more to talk about, as there always is, but we're very grateful to you for your time today and for the extraordinary service to our country that informs your very thoughtful and much needed views. We appreciate you visiting with us, sir. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Admiral James Ace Lyons, the former Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet. God bless you, sir. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.